So I was a little apprehensive going into this because I had seen the documentary on Netflix, also called The Staircase, and it is a pretty comprehensive piece of work. And I didn't know if I was going to learn anything new with this HBO dramatization. Watching the first episode, I was drawn in a little bit. And then it was in the second episode when I went, oh, I see what they're doing here. And so, yeah, this is a really good show. Whether or not you've seen that original documentary, this is a very good show.
If you like murder mystery type drama type things, then this is definitely right up your alley. And the fact that it was a documentary doesn't change that.
It's not just another murder mystery, right?
It's not just another murder mystery. It's not another fictionalized murder mystery. This is actually based on a documentary where the documentarians were part of the case of this guy's wife's murder.
For those of you who don't know, The Staircase centers around Michael Peterson. He is a crime novelist. He was also running for office in the United States when his wife is found dead at the bottom of the stairs in their home. There is a lot of blood. He is accused of bludgeoning her to death. This case went on for years. What makes it a particularly interesting true crime story is that when the case kicked off, a group of French documentarians were very, very interested in the story. And so this is one of those murders and trials that had cameras following them the whole time. And so when you watch the documentary, it is, I promise you, unlike anything you've ever seen before, because these aren't reenactments. This is an actual documentary film crew following this family and this man as everything is unfolding. And it is insane, like to have that much footage, to have that much material of a case as it's happening is unheard of. When Antonio Campos, who is the creator of this series, went into it, he had revisited all of the footage and all of the research and kind of decided to try and tell another version of this story. I think this is the first time we see stuff about Kathleen Peterson, Michael's wife who is dead. So this is the first time that we've ever seen her as a character or someone with agency. Because in the documentary, when that starts, she's dead. We're only seeing her through the eyes of someone else and through the voice of her family. And with Toni Collette, we're actually seeing Kathleen Peterson as a real person, not just a dead person or a victim. And that's what makes this show just all the more compelling.
The other thing that worked really well is that we're seeing it from the point of view, almost as a third, or I guess in this sense, a fourth party to this case, right? There's the prosecution, there's the defense, there's the documentary filmmakers, there's the family, and then there's us, the fifth version now, looking into the family's history and the politics within the family and the push and pull and the relationships between everybody. And you're right, even the relationship between Michael Peterson and his deceased wife. And I think that new layer makes it a little more interesting as well. Because again, I remember watching the documentary when it came out, and yeah, it's a documentary. It feels, I get the documentary is trying to stay neutral, but at the same time, they are embedded with the Peterson family. So obviously you're going to be leaning a little close to the Petersons, but it feels academic. There's a little devoid of the human emotion that this obviously fictionalized version of that story is sort of adding and telling.
And this brings in the element of telling the documentarian story as well. And so you see their point of view because throughout the actual documentary, as all documentary filmmakers are wont to do, they try to keep their voice out of it as much as possible. And I think by bringing them in as characters, we learn a little bit more of their motivation and how they affected the proceedings as well, because it is a Schrodinger's cat situation, right? By getting involved, you are changing it. By looking into the box, you are changing things. In that sense, I think this is incredibly cleverly put together because it's telling you, like you said, Bahe, all of these different points of view. And much like the documentary, I mean, I've seen the first four episodes, there are eight episodes, and much like the documentary itself, I do not believe you are going to get any answers by the end of it.
So there are two documentary filmmakers. after their first round of shooting with the family, the two filmmakers are sort of sitting in a cafe in Durham, and they're asking each other about whether they think Michael Peterson did it. And this is sort of, this is where I stand with regards to Michael Peterson, having seen the documentary and now having seen 4 episodes of this. And we were talking about it earlier before we started recording. You, Uma, feel like he's innocent. But my issue with Michael Peterson is that he feels shady. And there's one line that one of the documentarians said, even when I know he's telling the truth, it can sound like a lie. And that does not help Michael Peterson's case. And that's my one issue with this series. Michael Peterson, the real person, when you watch the documentary, he comes off as shady, as guarded, as distant, as a little too cool,
yeah,
a little too controlled. But Colin Firth is a little too human for me. Watching Colin Firth, I'm like, Colin Firth would never do that. He would never do that to the love of his life, Toni Collette, who's amazing. They're wonderful family. You know what I mean? Like, that's the problem.
No,
right?
You're but absolutely right.
I saw the first episode of this, and then I put on The Staircase on Netflix, and I'm like, the real Michael Peterson is not as warm as Colin Firth as Michael Peterson. So that's kind of my disconnect. And I think that quote by the documentary filmmaker, even when I know he's telling the truth, it can sound like a lie, is what the real Michael Peterson felt like.
You know, I think this is a great example of what happens when you create fictional accounts of real things, right? Because an actor is always, it's an act of performance and an act of interpretation. And so Colin Firth is trying his best to get into Michael Peterson's head. Meanwhile, the footage that we see of Michael Peterson, even that may not be Michael Peterson. That may be Michael Peterson with a camera pointed at him. And that's something that they do bring up and address in episode 2 when they're first shooting Michael and it comes off as performative.
Yes.
And at that point, the documentary filmmaker steps in and is like, Michael, you can't do this because that's not you.
And it's funny because that scene we see in episode 2 of Michael Peterson walking the cameraman and the director through the night of the death is the opening shot of The Staircase, of the documentary The Staircase. So you literally watch the behind the scenes, which I know is accurate because obviously the filmmaker of this series, Antonio Campos, had access to that original footage. So he obviously saw the director say those things. And yet when you watch the documentary, you're like, okay, I get it now. Even the documentarian picked up on the fact that it feels like a performance. So it's a beautiful sort of like, double, triple layer thing.
Despite all of that original footage in the documentary, we still didn't see the other side's lawyers. We still didn't see all of Michael's interaction with his own lawyers. And we get all of this here, right? Because we get access to some private conversations that even didn't happen in that documentary.
We're assuming that there is footage of certain things being said that were left out of the documentary.
But also, I had spoken to Michael Stuhlbarg about this. That interview will be coming on goggler.my really soon. But he did have access to the original David Rudolph. And he spent some time with him and he spoke to him. So all of the actors did have access to the people who were willing to give them access.
Right.
And so in that sense, they did actually speak to these individuals and use that to channel their characters.
They're more than just informed, right? They're
correct.
The actor's background and homework isn't based on the documentary that we've seen. They've got more. Yeah. Oh,
and I think that's absolutely crucial, especially in something like this, because, you know, here we are, we can speculate all we want. And you, when you watch this, you will speculate because you're watching this and there are so many characters and there's so many points of view. And after every episode, you will be changing your mind as to whether or not he did it. But I think it's very easy to forget, whether you're watching the documentary or this adaptation, that these are real people. Like, they're real people in real lives. And I think that's incredibly important, especially when actors are portraying these individuals, to try their best to be as truthful as possible. Like, yes, this is a fictionalized dramatization, but I think it still owes some fidelity to the truth, especially when it's a story like this, where everyone is still alive and the consequences of which are still being felt.
And I think that's the difference between something like this, The Staircase, and Paramount Plus's The Offer. You know,
right.
There was a lot of talk about, oh, this isn't actually accurate. This is not actually what's happened. This is just Albert Ruddy's sort of version of history and rose-tinted glasses and all that. And that's fine because that one really truly feels like an entertainment show, right? It's be it fiction or fictionalized or semi-fiction or non-fiction. Doesn't matter because that one's purely for fun. It's not pretending to be historically accurate. Whereas this, I think, is. So the, like you said, the consequences are real. The people are real. You know, the children, which showed up a lot in the documentary, show up a lot here. These are people who have now gone on to live the rest of their lives. And it's, this thing is real. So they have to be accurate. And I think knowing HBO and from the stuff I've read regarding HBO and their room of lawyers parsing over script, they would have done their due diligence. I think that would have been, I think that's why this feels more realistic than something like The Offer.
When I was on the press junket for this and talking to the various actors and creators, obviously they were constantly being asked whether they believed in Michael's innocence or not, right? It was a question that came up a lot. I think it's safe to say that they all went through that phase of speculation and they were talking about how while they were doing this and while they were shooting it and reading the scripts, they too kept going back and forth as to whether or not Michael did it. But at the end of the day, I think it became more than that. And I think that's what I got from watching this TV series as well, because I think Michael's innocence or guilt almost became secondary. This thing became, at least to me, about the American system and how broken it was. Like, because as you are watching this and as you're watching the legal wranglings that are going on, it's crazy. Like, the system is so flawed and broken and requires fixing in so many ways. But it's the only system they have and it works for the most part. But yet, in circumstances like this, it highlights all of the things that can go wrong.
Yeah.
And so it becomes an indictment on the American legal system and the criminal justice system as a whole. And I think that is probably the biggest takeaway from the show. And because of that, it doesn't really matter at the end whether you think Michael is guilty or innocent. I don't think that becomes as important. I don't think, like, I'm saying that because I know there are a lot of people who will feel cheated because you can Wikipedia this and you can find out exactly where Michael Peterson is right now. But I don't think that ending is important.
That's a really valid point because that's how the documentary filmmakers came to this, right? They were looking for, and their pitch was, a story about the American justice system as opposed to the story of Michael Peterson facing the justice system.
Yes.
The series makes clear that they were looking at the Michael Peterson case as a part of their film. So it was going to be another case that sort of fell away while they were shooting this. So you're right. I think the real story here is not whether or not Michael Peterson is innocent or guilty, but rather the lengths a district attorney may go to get an indictment.
To get a result in a case that is as public as this one, right? Because that somehow contributes to everything that's going on too.
And it's the kind of thing that we've all read about with the American justice system, right? Because the district attorney is always looking at his next political step. He never wants to just be a district attorney. So then it's the thing of like, oh, is it publicly popular and how that will go into his political plans 5 years, 10 years down the line, or the mayor that he's serving.
It doesn't help that Michael is shitting on the district attorney constantly because he too is running for office.
Prior to that, he's been writing, he's got a column in the newspaper shitting on the local DA and how the politics are not being done right. If this was fiction without the original documentary, you would think the Michael Peterson story is too much. There's too much there. What happened in Germany, his other wife, the fact that the children are all together, and then the second wife, and then if it was fake, you'd go like, that's one too many things here. It's too much.
It's too melodramatic. It's too soap opera, right?
One too many staircases are involved in this guy's story, right?
Yeah.
And I think the fact that it's based on reality just really just makes you just like wiggle out.
We highly recommend this show. It's also got a fantastic cast. Colin Firth, obviously, is Michael Peterson. Toni Collette is just amazing in everything. But it's also got Michael Stuhlbarg, Dane DeHaan, Patrick Schwarzenegger, Sophie Turner, Parker Posey's in it. Olivia De Jong's in it, and she is going to be in Elvis that's coming soon.
Juliette Binoche is in this one.
Oh, yeah, Juliette Binoche is in it. Yes. The cast is incredible. The way it's shot is incredible. There's a fantastic oneer in the first episode that opens the first episode. It's a really subtle one, but really done well.
There's another fantastic oneer in episode 2 during the fundraising at home.
Yes.
I mean, it's kind of a oneer. They use some computer CG cuts and stuff, but that one's also beautiful.
HBO premium television is what it is. And we highly recommend it. Whether or not you've seen the documentary, mind you, if anything, it will make you want to go and spend 12 hours of your life. I think it's 12 hours.
Yes.
Watching that documentary on Netflix.
We've been shitting on Netflix the last couple of weeks after the announcement of their recent drop in stock prices.
To be fair, we've been shitting on Netflix long before that. They haven't been putting out good content for a while, but...
Even more so, lady. I wonder why this isn't on Netflix. I wonder why a remake of a Netflix documentary is on HBO. I don't know how Netflix executives could let HBO outbid them on this. It just makes no sense. You know what I mean? Like, to me, it makes no sense. In 2018, The Staircase was one of their big shows. I mean, I remember people talking about it. I remember telling people about it, right? How do you lose this? How do you lose this series? I don't get it.
How do you lose this series with Colin Firth, Toni Collette, Dane DeHaan, Patrick Schwarzenegger, Sophie Turner, Parker Posey?
Yeah.
How? Michael Stuhlbarg?
How do you lose this? Yeah. Because I would think the filmmakers, Jean-Javier de Lestrade, also great name, Lestrade, but they would have Netflix's number. I'm sure they do. But so
of course.
It just feels weird that the Netflix exec would lose this title. But at the same time, I also understand why. Because it's too serious. This isn't fun Netflix TV. I just feel like that's a real wasted opportunity.
Given the opportunity to spend all of that money on a Mike Myers series, I mean, it's a no-brainer, man. Forget this slow, talky drama shit.
Yeah.
You can have Mike Myers playing every single character in a TV series.
I just feel it's weird that they lost this. I'm waiting for the Hollywood Reporter long dive article on this because it's strange. It's strange that Netflix would lose a remake of a documentary that's on their service to HBO.
It baffled me as well because I honestly thought it was coming to Netflix.
Yeah.
When I saw the trailer at first, I was like, wait, what? Huh? This is where now?
Yeah.
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 It's on HBO, folks. So go watch The Staircase. The first episode is out on HBO Go. New episodes drop every Thursday in Malaysia. We highly recommend this. Watch the documentary as well. They're both very different beasts. Let us know what you think once you've seen it. You can reach out on all of our social media feeds, GogglerMY. You can also email us on podcast@goggler.my or WhatsApp us on the Goggler hotline, 012-524-5208. Thank you so much for listening. This is the Goggler Podcast.